To sustain human life, certain physiological needs must be met, including air, water, food, and touch. But where there is a need, there's somebody who's trying to make a quick buck. Municipalities charge for water provision, and in some parts of the world, clean air is on sale at specialist coffee shops. But it's the commodification of food that is causing major problems for ordinary South Africans. This is a Spudcaster podcast on the right to food, and I am your host, Candice Nolan.
When I talked to the people, I said, I'm staying at Sandton, but I don't think this is a Sandton. But we stay here.
Peggy stays in Sandton, an upmarket suburb north of the Johannesburg city centre. She lives in a shack, tin roofs weighed down by stones and clothes pegged to makeshift washing lines. It all stands in stark contrast to the pristine lawns of Innisfree Park, which surrounds the settlement.
Just have a look now what I'm going to eat. I haven't got even money to buy meat. I'm going to eat the spinach and a pap. I'm going to cook a pap with a spinach. Yes. And I use a paraffin. You see that? I'm going to use a paraffin.
There are so many people like Peggy who struggle to make ends meet, unable to afford a healthy diet. Brittany Kesselman, a food researcher, spoke to an old age pensioner in the inner city.
When I asked her if she thought there was a role for the big corporations and the big supermarkets like ShopRite to help people who are hungry, she said, well, yes, but only if they also get something. They must also get something. And I thought, you know, this woman's pension is about 1,500 rand per month. The annual profits of ShopRite were almost 7 billion rand around that time. And she's concerned that they get something. I mean, that's just, to me, crazy, but that just shows how deeply ingrained the concept is that food is something that is for profit.
Eileen, a street vendor outside the University of Johannesburg's Kingsway campus, echoes these sentiments.
Me, I like to eat rice and chicken. Sometimes I can't eat chicken. I eat only vegetables.
So, you know, they say that food is something that should be free. Mm. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. I'm feeling it.
So you'd like to just walk into a shop and just take whatever you...
No, it's not good. Oh, yes, God will take for free.
Yeah. Why not?
So someone, the one who's selling, he mustn't get a profit. Yeah, not good.
Not good?
Yeah.
Okay, so you think that they should make something?
Yeah, I must make something, yeah.
But it's not right that we are hungry and that we don't have enough food.
But even if you are hungry, one go to shop, take for something for Mahala. So the owner of the shop, you're going to pay what? For rent.
And another woman who also was struggling to feed her family, she was working in the inner city of Johannesburg. She said, you know, what right to food? I can't go into Spar and take food for free. So again, it's this idea that the food system is a system where you buy and sell something, and that's the only way it works. And therefore, how can you have a right to food? Because if you don't have money, you can't buy food.
But the right to food is guaranteed in the South African Constitution.
And that means that everyone is supposed to have access to sufficient and healthy food. But the reality on the ground is completely different. About a quarter of South Africans live below the food poverty line, which means they literally cannot afford to eat a healthy diet. And in fact, that line is incredibly low. So another quarter of the population sort of moves above and below that line. So sometimes they are hungry and other times not, which means basically half of South Africans are not enjoying a right that is guaranteed in the Constitution. So it's a challenge when people don't know that they have that right and they don't mobilize and fight for it and demand it from government. In the current context in South Africa, there's more than enough food for everyone. Between what we produce and what we import, there is more than enough to meet everyone's dietary needs. The reason why people are hungry is not a shortage of food, it's a shortage of cash to buy the food in a capitalist system. So it's not a technical problem, it's a political problem.
Like the air we breathe, food is a basic human necessity.
Food is a matter of life and death. Let's just remember that. Without food, we die. Without sufficient nutrition, we die. Now, it doesn't always happen immediately. Most people in South Africa are not starving in the sense of they're about to collapse and die, but they are malnourished in the sense that they don't have sufficient nutrients for optimal health.
Kesselman says there are workable solutions.
Brazil has one of the widest gaps between rich and poor in the world. Some are extremely rich, while others still suffer from hunger. But the real problem is not the lack of food, it is the access to food. From 1993, when Patrus Ananias was elected as mayor of the city, our government gave priority to food, food for everyone.
According to Al Jazeera, there's been a 60% drop in infant mortality and a 75% decrease in children hospitalized for malnutrition.
Filing in by the hundreds for what is about as close to a free lunch as you can get, at this so-called popular restaurant in the Brazilian city of Belo Horizonte, municipal workers hand out meals costing the equivalent of 85 U.S. cents. Property taxes finance four of these eating halls. They cost each of the city's 2.4 million inhabitants about 5 cents a week in public money.
Those of us who work here consider ourselves defenders of the right to eat. Anyone rich or poor can eat here. For us, food is a basic right.
The Brazilian government also supports local farmers.
In low-income areas throughout the city, neighbors can get organically grown fruits, vegetables, and medicinal herbs grown literally around the corner.
I sell some of what I harvest. I give some of it away to people who can't afford it, and some of it goes to the church and school next door.
Of course, urban gardens don't provide nearly enough food for a large city. That's where these markets come into the picture. The city of Belo Horizonte gives away land plots in impoverished areas to entrepreneurs who agree to build the markets. The only catch, they must offer at least 20 items of produce for no more than 38 cents a kilo. The low-cost markets have flourished, earning profits on high volumes despite low markups.
Brittany Kesselman says we need urgent intervention to stem the tide of preventable lifestyle diseases.
So what that means is that over time, they become ill. And if you look at how many people are getting diabetes these days, hypertension, cardiovascular disease, strokes, some of the kinds of cancer, all of those are linked to the fact that they don't have healthy diets. And so what we see is younger and younger people suffering from these things because they don't have healthy diets. We see people having limbs amputated and going blind from diabetes, something that never would have happened if they had healthy diets. And at the same time, with children, if children don't have adequate nutrition in the first, say, 1,000 days of their life, which includes when they're in the womb, so it's about 3 years, it affects their development for the rest of their lives. So that means that children who don't have sufficient food as infants, literally their physical and cognitive development never reaches its full potential. And that means we're basically sacrificing the future of the country, because at the moment, about 30% of children are stunted. So that's almost one third of children who are not getting sufficient nutrition. And that should be a national scandal. That's frankly all we should be talking about. But we're not.
Credits go to Brittany Kesselman, Al Jazeera, and the World Future Council. This podcast was brought to you by Spudcaster for Baobulb.org. And I'm your host, Candice Nolan.